Let's talk a little bit about the sugya on Beit Daf Chaf Hei, the inyan of Derech Eretz when it comes to halacha, clashing with halacha. So there's a fascinating gemara which tells us that an Amr Aleph here, that Amr Rami Bar Abba Hefshev Nituach Ba'ola, that a person, when it comes to shechting the animal, so he has to learn a certain Derech Eretz, V'hu Adin L'Ktzavim, that a person, the din is that mikan lamda derech eretz shelo yochal adam basar kodem hefshev nituach. A person should not eat prior to skinning and preparing the animal. The person might be very, very hungry, but still, in the end of the day, you have to learn how a person should go about derech eretz, how to eat properly. So the Gemara says, why is this only derech eretz? Isn't this an iser? Because if you shecht an animal, so you have to know it's a treifa. So if you eat it right away, and you don't do the inspections to see if it's a treifa, so you're violating it's a deraisa. This isn't derech eretz. And the Gemara ends up saying, no, that's not a violation of treifa, because we have a chazaka that there's no treifa on such an animal. If you shecht an animal, the Gemara says, when you nishchata b'cheskas heter omedes, when you shecht an animal properly, it has a chazaka of being mutter, until ad shiodeh lecha b'ma nishva, unless there's a reason to think something bad happened. But barring that, it's going to be completely mutter. So what's the din that Rabbi Baruch Abba is teaching us? So the Gemara says, Orech Ara, he's teaching us Derech Eretz, Kamash Malan. He's teaching us the Derech Eretz, and Rashi says, V'lo Mishum Isser Trefa. There's no Isser Trefa of eating from the meat before you've skinned it. It's Derech Eretz. A person shouldn't go and stuff his face. A person, you know, I would say a person shouldn't use his hands. There happens to be a Gemara in the Darm that says the way they used to eat was actually Dafka with their hands, not with utensils. But that could change over time with society. So a person in our society shouldn't use their hands to eat. You shouldn't stuff your face to eat. There's a way that an individual, a mensch, not that good Jew, a mensch, a way a person knows how to eat. And the Gemara brings an example that lo yochal adam shum o batzal mirosha ela me'olav. There's a way to eat and peel a garlic and onion in a proper way. And imachal, if you eat from the head of the garlic, the onion, hareze ravtan, you're considered a person who's starving and stuffing his face. And there's a way to drink properly, as a mensch, not to gulp something and not to sip something, that's a derech gaiva. There's a proper way a person has to eat and present himself at the suda, and even outside the suda. It's derech eretz. So Tosus asks the question, well, if this is only derech eretz, how to eat, so if a guy violates derech eretz, what's the big deal? Okay, if it's your kid, you give him a little patch and say, okay, this is how you say please, and you say thank you, you say excuse me, this is how you eat, but you don't punish him. So the Gemara says, though, there's a punishment for a person who doesn't eat properly. Because the Gemara brings a brisa that if something the Gemara calls a chatsufa is referring to certain types of grass or plants that were planted in between people's borders. They don't grow horizontally, they only go vertically, so it's a nice border. What's my property, what's your property? So a person were to remove those borders, those plants that were in times of Yoshua Ben Nun, that guy is a Rasha for doing so. And then the Gemara says, Netia and Mikateya, these people, Raglein, Diktifa. So the Gemara lists other individuals who are also punished. Netia is referring to Arla. Arla is a fruit tree, the first 2 years you can't eat. That's called Arla. And one who does lacks patience. And Mikatei Raglein de Katzavia, which Rashi goes on to explain, those people who eat the meat before skinning the animal and properly preparing it, that person is going to be punished as well. And the Gemara says, Bole Nidos. It lists a variety of Isurim where people who lack Derech Eretz, they don't have the patience. So one who's Bole Nido, which is an Issa Deraisa, a person who eats Arlo, which is an Issa Deraisa, but that's all about lacking patience. And on that list is a person who eats from the animal before you skin it. But that's only derech eretz. That's not an iser. To eat an animal because you rush to eat the animal, that's lacking derech eretz. And yet, the Gemara says there's a punishment. So how is it possible that lacking derech eretz will lead to the same punishment as bol nidos and the same punishment as one who eats arla? So Tosus asks this question on the top of Amud Beis here. He says, Tema. Dibesamech, in the Gemara that we just described, it's mashma shigesh iser bedavar. There's an iser because you're going to get punished. Dekamar netia and mikateya, which is referring to those who eat the meat before it's been skinned. Raglein dekatavia. Such people will be punished. So there's an iser, not simply derech eretz. And Tosus answers, yeshlomar, devale leka iser.
There's no iser. Why? Because the mishnish shechata, when the animal shechted properly, it's omed, it's becheskes heter, it's mutter. Miu, im nimtes treifal achar sheachal, if it turned out to be a treifa, your nenesh kishogeg v'lo k'ones. You're punished for violating shogeg, this iser b'shogeg, not because you're ones. Shelohaya lo lemaher kokach, you should not have been so fast to eat the meat. So what? In the end of the day, what's the violation? Is a violation treifa, or is a violation derech eretz? So Tosa tells us, the reason why you get a punishment, shelohaya lo lemaher kokach, you should not have been so quick. It sounds like it's a violation of derech eretz. And yet still, says Tosos, because you violated Derech Eretz b'shogeg, you're going to get punished. So Derech Eretz is being placed in a very high pedestal at this point. So I want to go through now a series of categories of the responsibility one has if a person violates an Isser Ones, when a person violates an Isser b'shogeg, and then when a person violates an Isser b'derech Eretz, and see how Tosus is making these assumptions that even B'derech Eretz will warrant a certain punishment. Yeah, Yaakov.
I think you say he's referring to treifa, the sort of treifa violating the shogeg, meaning B'derech Eretz is a machayev that you really didn't do, you weren't completely honest. You really should have taken additional steps to be careful, and you weren't.
Yeah, so simply
so it's possible. It's possible, but it sounds like the Tosus writes, he says there's lek iser, there is no iser at all, and then he, so it could be he's going back on that. Rabbi Chanan didn't learn like you. He also said the iser is a derech eretz iser. When he in Kovitz Shirum, the way he writes it, kevan de mishum midas derech eretz tzarech lahamtin. So it sounds like it's not the iser of treifa, but there might be some combination. I agree, it's not completely clear in Tosos. It's a little bit ambiguous. So it's possible that the iser really is one of treifa, but it could be that. Right, it could be that. And therefore, it would be less of a caution understanding Shitas Tosos. But the simple understanding, and Rav Chanan certainly, the violation is one of Midas Derech Eretz, and that, still, nonetheless, it leads to a punishment. So let's understand this. So let's go through the categories of one who violates an Isser Be'onis, B'shogeg, and the Derech Eretz. Yes, Steve?
Just wondering if you already know how you're supposed to do it, why is it not B'mezid rather than B'shogeg?
Because in the end of the day, this violation is only if it turns out to be a treifa. If it wasn't a treifa, so I lacked midas derech eretz, I didn't do anything wrong. So now that I lacked the midas derech eretz and I ate it quickly, and it turns out it was an iser, that's not mazid, but it's not mazid on in the iser, it's mazid on derech eretz.
Right.
But the iser came about in such a way, I didn't willingly eat an iser treifa. I willingly ate something quickly.
Okay.
But I didn't willingly eat it. If I knew it was a treifa, I wouldn't eat the treifa. So it turns out that the Isser Treifa only came about in a shogeg type of way. So I was unaware of the Treifa.
What if you ate it, but it wasn't a Treifa?
Then you're fine. Then there's no punishment for doing so.
So it seems to be just a shogeg Treifa.
But what defines it to be a shogeg is because of my lacking of Derech Eretz. That makes it a shogeg. Let's say there's no meat of derech eretz. I'm allowed to eat quickly. There's no concept of eating fast.
Wait one second.
So let's say I'm allowed to eat fast. I don't have an issue. There's no problem with derech eretz. Eat as fast as you want. And then it turned out I ate the animal.
Right.
Halacha tells me there's no chashash of a treifa. I shechted it properly. And then I ended up finding out that there was an issa treifa.
Yes.
That would be onus. There's only shogeg because there's a certain responsibility I had. I should have eaten slowly because Derech Eretz dictates I need to eat slowly and have patience and wait. Because I lack the Derech Eretz, turns out I'm shogeg on the Isser of Treifa. But it's the Derech Eretz that's really driving that point home. Had there not been a concept of the Derech Eretz, then I would be completely onus.
There's no halacha that you have to check the lungs before you eat?
No, the din is you have to check lungs only where the Treifas are very likely in Matsui.
Right.
But all the other Treifas are not Matsui. There are 18 treifas.
Right.
We don't check all them. Because
right.
It's so unlikely, and we could rely on the fact that they ain't no matzah, lo shchiach. So that's the din.
Could you say that again? You said if there was no Isser Derech Eretz, and you just ate it, then it would be amazed. It wouldn't be
no, not amazed.
Okay.
Onus. Onus, which means I'm completely exempt. Let's say, for example, Let me give you an example. Let's say I eat pizza. I go to the pizza under the vod, which is completely fine.
Right.
Let's say I found out afterwards
right. That
some guy snuck in and put some, some treif in there.
Right.
Am I responsible? No. I did everything in my hand to do. I followed the vod. I followed the halach. I went to the pizza store. I paid for my food and I ate it. Now I'm that's not shogeg. If there a guy put some pig in there, there's no way for me to know that. I trusted on the right people. I followed the halacha.
Right.
But let's say the halacha was every
no penalty.
No penalty. We'll get to onus in a second. But let's say there was something. I'm told when you buy the pizza from the pizza store, you're supposed to still check inside to make sure you know there are no there's no pig in there. So I didn't check it.
So you're getting with spinach, and they read the spinach was
no, right.
You have to check.
You have to check. Yeah, right. Right. Or for example, I bought the other day dried apricots from someplace. You have to check dried apricots for bugs and worms. I opened up an apricot, I found the worm inside there.
Really?
So you have to check these things. So they exist. So. But when I'm following everything that I'm supposed to be doing,
right.
Buying from a pizza store under the hashgacha of the vod, that's completely fine.
Right.
If something happened that I was not expected to know and not on me to look into,
right.
That's onus.
Okay.
But the only reason why I'm not onus in this case is because I'm told by the Derech Eretz, don't eat the meat so fast. Wait till it gets skinned, wait till it gets cut up, wait till the butcher comes. And since I lacked that Derech Eretz of being a little bit patient, and then it turned out to be a treifa. Had I waited, I would have found out it was a treifa, maybe. Then I'm responsible, at least as a shogeg.
Right, but your example of you weren't warned, and it happened, you're saying what? In the case of the meat?
Then you'd be onus.
And now you're
putter. So let's go through, oh, right, exactly. So you're being in this case, to shogeg, exactly.
Jacob is warning you.
It's exactly. A treifa she'ena metzuya, right? Not a treifa.
Correct.
Metzuya,
right.
Otherwise, you would have to check.
Right. So let's go through now the different levels. Hopefully, we'll build up and appreciate the shita of tosis a little bit better. We have a pasuk in the Torah that's brought down. Whenever there's the Gemara says ones rachmana patre, which means when the person's ones for something, he's pater. If you know the case of the pasuk is if a woman was raped, she was nensa. So the pasuk says ulanara lo tasa davar. Nothing happened to her. She didn't do anything wrong. It was forced. So she can't be responsible, even though she might be an Ashes Ish or an Ara Murasa, she's engaged or married, and she was forced by another man. She's not responsible. She's not an Ashes Ish. A man forced her. So that's Ones Rachmana Patre. And Ulanara Losasa Dabra, the Pasuk says, to her, nothing happened. She doesn't get punished for doing so, because she didn't do anything wrong.
That's the source of the definition of Ones?
Yeah, so the Gemara says, so there's Machlokas in the Mishonim, when we say Ulanara Losasa Dabra, to the Nara, the woman who is Nensa, she doesn't get punished. But was there Maisa? Was there an Avera done? Was there some Chalos? Now, she's not responsible, but there might still be an Avera. Not that we held her accountable, but something might exist in the world. And I'll give you examples what that might mean. So there's Machlokas in Rashi and Ksubis and the Ran and the Dharm, whether one who's Ones, although Pater from punishment, there might be some Maisa Avera that took place. So let me give examples. There's a fascinating Rev Yosef Engel in Asman Daraisa. Asman Daraisa is a classic sefer, and he has a piece here on the Klal Yud Gimel, those who want to look it up, about ones when it comes to mitzvahs aseh. Let's say I want to perform a mitzvahs aseh, and I'm not able to perform the mitzvahs aseh because of ones, does something still exist? So if I give you a few nafkaminas, I think you'll appreciate what I'm talking about. So the first example he says, let's say a person, we're learning, those who are learning Daf Yomi in Brachos, we learned about Tashlumim. Tashlumim, those who are learning Zichru should know the Tashlumim is on page Chavav. Am anyone here doing learning Zichru? No? Okay, fine. It's a great. Those who are doing Daf Yomi, I highly recommend you join the Zichru program. It helps you memorize the key points in each Daf. It's incredible. Okay. If you're not doing it, okay, so fine. But either way, what?
Is that all Daf?
Zichru.com. It's all Daf, but join it with the WhatsApp group, and they send the really neat videos and stuff. It's incredible. So anyways, so Daf Chavav, Tashlumim, that we have to make Tashlumim. If a guy doesn't daven Shachris, he davens two Minchas. If a guy misses Mincha, he davens two Marvs, and so on. So what happens if a person is Nensa? He didn't daven because, I don't know, he was sick, he was sleeping. So that he's Ones of some sort. Is there Tashlumim for someone who is Ones? That's the question. So he quotes from here, he said there's a machlokis between the Drisha and the Taz. B'nenas v'lo haya yachol es palo tefilas achas. The guy was nenas, let's call him, let's say he was sick, and wasn't able to daven one tefila. Is he chayav to do tashlumim, or is he pater from tashlumim? What's the question? So he says, if nenas means it's pater legamre. When a guy's ones, not only is he pater from punishment, but nothing even existed. There's not even a chiv at all to speak of, so then there's nothing to make up. But if nenas means, okay, the guy was sick, so he wasn't held accountable for missing shachris. But the chiv still existed, he just wasn't held accountable, then he would have to make up that tashlumim in the very next tefillah. So he says, that machlokus is whether or not when a person is nenas, is it as if nothing exists, or that he's just putter from any responsibility, but that chiv still exists. Another nafkamina, he says, we know when a person's not able to perform Karban Pesach for Pesach Rishon, so he has tashlumim Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara talks about a guy who's Tmeya, the Pasuk or Derech Rechoka, he's too far. But let's say the guy's Ones, so he's sick and he can't make it to the base of Mikdash, is he responsible to make it up or not? So he says, if the Ones is as if it doesn't exist, there's nothing to make up, just like by Tashlumim of Tefillah. So that's another Nafkamina. And a third Nafkamina, he says, there are many, many more, but the third, at least the one that he brings, is that there's a halacha that an Ariel, a Kohen who does not have a bris milah, he's an Ariel, he's usher to perform the Avodah. And he's also usher to eat Pesach, he's usher to eat Chuma. Can't eat the Karban Pesach, can't eat Chuma. Who's an Ariel? So Rashi says, it's an Ariel, Shalom Mal Machmas Shemeso Achiv. A guy who's against the bris milah, it's Vada, he can't be involved in the Avodah and eating Chuma, eating Karban Pesach. So what type of Ariel is the Gemara talking about? A person whose older brothers had milas and died. So it's dangerous for this next son to have a... So they didn't give him a bris milah. So he can't perform the avoda. Rabbeinu Tam says, of course he can. This is talking about, which type of RL are we talking about? We're talking about RL who willingly didn't get a bris milah. But a guy who doesn't have a milah because his brothers got sick and died, he's pater. He's onus. He shouldn't be getting a bris milah. And if he's an onus, he's not called an Ariel. Even though he mamish has Arla, he's not called an Ariel. So says Yosef Engel, because when a person is onus, it's as if it doesn't exist. It completely wipes everything away. He's not called an Ariel. While Rashi says, you're right, the guy's pater from punishment. He doesn't need a bris milah because his brothers died. But he's still called an Ariel. The onus doesn't wipe it out as if it doesn't exist. So we see that there's this interesting machlokas, whether or not how far onus goes in one's responsibility. Is it only exempting the punishment, or does it even exempt the mitzvah, the avera, as if nothing exists? Now, as a side
even
point...
Even the metzias.
Right, exactly, even the metzias. Very good, even the metzias. So he has a fascinating chiluk here. He also points out that there might be two dinim here, depending on what type of mitzvah we're referring to. We know we have two basic... categories of mitzvahs, ben adam l'makom, and ben adam l'chavero. So it might depend which type of mitzvah. So he writes in a fascinating way that when it comes to mitzvahs, ben adam l'makom, if I'm onus, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to come chase after me. Kadosh Baruch Hu understands. He says, ain't a Kadosh Baruch Hu ba b'chonya in b'riyosav. He's not chasing after the people in this world, u'mechayev ach misha yachal l'kayim a mitzvah v'anus. The guy's onus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mochel b'davar. He's like, okay, I don't worry about it, no punishment. When it comes to Ben Adam L'Chavero, he writes, like building a makeh, a fence around my roof, or paying a chov, the guy's not mochel b'davar, I was onus. So the guy could fall off a roof now because I was onus in building my fence? I still have a responsibility to society, I have a responsibility to my friend. Onus, although I might be exempt from a punishment, doesn't mean I'm exempt from having to fulfill it nonetheless. I still have to make sure the fence is built. I have to make sure I paid the debt. And therefore, there's a fascinating chiluk he writes between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero. And he says, based on the Tosos, that if a person is not able to, when it comes to a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, and he can't perform the mitzvah Puruvu, because he can't marry a Bas Chorin because he's half Eved. He can't marry a Shifcha because he's half Ben Chorin. So he can't perform the mitzvah Puruvu, he can't get married. So there are two mitzvahs of Purvu. There's Purvu and the Sheves Yatzra, which is filling the world with people, procreating. So based on Tosos says that when it comes to this mitzvah, he's very meduyik in Tosos. I'm not going to be that medak, but look inside if you want. He says the individual, when he's onus, the chatzi ever chatzi ben charen, he can't get married. He's onus. It's not his choice. The master freed him half. So he can't do anything about this. He's onus. So he's pater from Puruvu, he says. Puruvu is a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. Hashem says, I have to have children, so I'm pater from a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. But the second element of having children is l'sheves yatzra, which is about having the world full of humans. That's a ben adam l'chavero. That's tikkun olam. That's helping society. That I'm not pater from. And that's why he says, Leshevet Yatra, that's the driving force why the master has to free the Eved. Because it's his duty to the rest of the people that even though there's an onus, there's still a responsibility to help procreate and fill the world with people. So that's a fascinating point. Anyway, this ends the topic of onus. Onus Rachman Apatre, how far is the patur willing to go? Now let's jump to the next level of shogeg, where there is some responsibility of a person. It's not mazid. I didn't willingly violate an isser, but I had some negligence. I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't do my responsibility, what I should have done. So here we find also a fascinating discussion of whether or not a person, when he violates veir b'shogeg, whether he's responsible. So Ramban writes in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and this you saw, I assume, in the Mar Makomos. I'll just read out the bold line. Aval b'shogeg ein aleihem shum nesias chet ve'ein tzrichen ritzui klal. If you do an aveira, according to Ramban, you're not b'shogeg. You're not responsible. You know, you did something wrong. Take an extreme example. You turn on a light on Shabbos. You feel so bad. It wasn't your fault. That's misasik, which is perhaps even better than shogeg. But you didn't do anything on purpose. Okay, next time be more careful. But if the Torah doesn't give you a punishment. Shabbos isn't a really good example because you have to bring a carbon chatas for violating Shabbos for shogeg. But whenever there's a shogeg that doesn't result in a carbon, so there's no responsibility of kapara. Let's say, the classic example of a lav is a lo sachsam shor bedisha. Don't muzzle your animal. So let's say you were shogeg somehow in muzzling the animal. And maybe the example is the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that lo sachsam shor bedisha doesn't only apply by muzzling it, but I could also violate the iser bekol. Let's say I see my ox muzzling and he's about to eat some, carrots, and I yell at the animal and it stops eating and it continues to walk. That's a violation of losachsum because I prevented the animal from eating, even though there was no muzzle, but my actions, my dibur, prevented it. So let's say, the animal's busy plowing and I'm screaming at, my kids, and the animal stops eating because it gets all nervous. That might be a case, I don't know for sure, but that might be an example of shogeg on losachsum shor bedisha. But there's no carbon chatas I bring for that. So that's shogeg without a punishment. And that, according to the Ramban, doesn't require any kapara. There is no nisias chet. There's a gemara, those again who learn daf yomi, daf yotes, about the individual who finds himself wearing shatnez, klaim, in the middle of the shuk. And the gemara tells us that he has to take off that clothing because his own covered brios is important, but you can't violate an issa deraisa. And therefore, you have to remove that shatness. But what happens if you see your friend wearing shatness? He doesn't know. But you know that guy is wearing shatness. You're familiar with that boss like that. I think they have, oftentimes their suits have shatness, I'm told. So he has that company, and you see it's a boss suit. So you want to rip off his pants and jacket in the middle of the, New York City. So should you do that, or should you not? He doesn't know. He is unaware of this. So the Rush says, The Rush writes, Hamotzi klaim bibigdo posho. If you find it on your beged, you take it off. But if I find it on someone else's beged, that I don't do. The guy's onus. Maybe shogeg, he didn't have a shatnez checked. He's shogeg. The Rambam writes, in Hilchas klaim, haroa klaim shel Torah al chavero, even on your friend's beged, afil mahach bashuk, the guy's walking in New York City in Midtown, Kofetz love a Corey love, you jump on him and you tear it off. Now, it wouldn't be such a big deal in Midtown, Times Square, people walking around without dress there anyways. But, you're in a place that maybe the covered brios is not as lacking as the Times Square. Kikar Shabbos, where more tanua there. So then you're supposed to rip off his boss suit in the middle of Kikar Shabbos. So the Rambam says, even on a friend, but the Rush says no. If I know I'm wearing one, then fine, I should take it off. If my friend's wearing it, he doesn't know, I let him be. I don't want to embarrass him. But why not? He's violating an Isser Shanis, an Isser Kalayim. So the Yeshua's Yaakov explains is, Yeshua's Yaakov says, because this machlokus is whether or not when a person's violating an Isser B'shogeg, is he violating an Isser or not violating an Isser? So according to the Rush, when my friend Reuven is wearing the Shanis B'shogeg, that's an Isser. That's in the Nesias Chet. I need to help him. But according to the Rush, that no, if he's b'shogeg, There's no iser for him, like the Ramban says, ain bonus yeschet, and therefore I can let him be, and just don't let him know.
So, isn't that a violation on you? Isn't there something in between where you have an obligation to tell him and then let him do it to himself?
Only if he's only he's violating the iser willingly, but he's not violating the iser willingly. It's only b'shogeg, so I have no responsibility.
To tell him, aren't you negligent not telling him? No. To tell him?
No.
Better than it's shogeg.
That's a case. If you know he won't listen to you, mutar
right. Shogin. I'm not saying
that. Depends who it is.
The person
right.
will know.
So,
don't you have an obligation to tell him?
That's machlokas here. That's the machlokas. Right here.
The question, I thought you said the machlokas was on his punishment. But is there any kind of machlokas that you're supposed to tell him if you know?
No, that they get.
No,
again, that's. If there's no embarrassment, right. Fine. But if there's a covered brios at hand, then no, that's the machlokas. Those are the psukim. The Gemara in Erechim quotes the psukim.
So, if there's no embarrassment, you have to go over and tell him.
Yeah, if there's no embarrassment, then the person should let him know. And there's a machlokas, whether it's an Isser Deraisa or even an Isser Derabanan. But in this context of embarrassment, covered brios. So then it depends whether or not there's shogeg, whether or not there's a iser of shogeg or not. Rambam says you still have to tell the guy, you still have to rip it off. And the Rush and the Ramban as well, when a person violates an iser of shogeg, there is no iser. So therefore, in the case of Kavod Brios embarrassing him, better not to tell him. So
where does Rambam hold on Kavod Brios? He doesn't feel like that's the trumping.
Correct. He thinks not.
Does he think it?
No, but the Gemara itself says, it's at the Gemara, that if you yourself are wearing clothing that's shatnez, you have to take it off because your own covered brios cannot override what the Torah dictates, the Isser in the Torah.
Covered brios is for somebody.
So now, for myself, so now the question of someone else about, so I'm aware of it. I know I'm wearing shatnez now. I became aware. I saw my boss suit, shatnez. I got to take it off now. So that guy doesn't know. The question is, will it extend to my friend as well? Even when he is unaware. That's the machlokas here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't it up to him to decide whether he's embarrassed or not, and it's up to you to tell him?
No, I think everyone would agree if you rip the guy's pants off in public embarrassment.
I keep hearing that one, but I don't hear the in-between, letting him know and letting him decide whether he wants to take it off.
Okay.
So
but
you
either
seem to have an obligation to tell him that, hey...
If it's shogeg, he has no culpability, then why put him in that situation?
So now let's jump further. The Nesivos writes in support of the Rambam that he also thinks that when a person violates an Isser b'shogeg, there is a responsibility, there is a need for kapara and tshuva. He's talking about a fascinating topic here. Let's say a guy, a store owner, sells you something that's usher to eat, and you eat it now. So does he have to pay you back? Payback because he sold you something that's us or something that's treif. And the din of Shulchan Aruch is it depends on the level of the Isser. If the Isser was an Isser deraisa, so then I ate the meat that was mamish treif, so then he owes me the money back that I ate. But if the Isser is only an Isser midirabanan, so then the din is that I don't get my money back because on a deraisa level I really did nothing wrong and therefore there's no paying money back. Now in that context, the Nesivos writes that the reason why that there's a difference between an Issa Deraisa and an Issa Midirbanan is because an Issa Torah that I ate this treif, I didn't know, I was shogeg, perhaps even onus, but he calls it shogeg. He says, Afilu ochlim b'shogeg, tzarech kapara v'tshuva lahagin al ha'yisrun. You still need tshuva, you still need kapara to protect yourself from any types of punishment. So the Nesivos goes in the opposite corner to the Ramban. While the Ramban says there's no Isser one who's violating something b'shogeg, the Nesivos says that there is an Isser when a person does violate an Isser b'shogeg. And this, again, fits into the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. If I see someone else wearing shanes, whether I need to remove it from him or not, it hinges on, again, whether an Isser b'shogeg is really an Isser or not an Isser. So that's shogeg. Now let's take it one step further. So we spoke about Ones. We spoke about the responsibility on an Isser b'shogeg. But let's talk about Isser on a shogeg on a dirabanan level now. A shogeg of violating Isser midirabanan. We were talking about a shogeg on an Isser deraisa, such as shatnez, but could we take it one step further about a shogeg on an Isser midirabanan? So the Kovit Shurim now, we're going to bring everything back together. When explaining our Tosas here in Beit HaChafei, he quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos that a man is Baal Isha, Al Ishto, and it's during her Veset. So he's responsible, and she turned out to be a Nida, so now he's considered responsible for being Baal Nida. So he says, even though Vestos, there's machlok is whether Vestos, which is the time when a woman's expected to see her the next Nida cycle. So there's machlok is whether Vestos are derabbanan or deraisa. Some say that a woman has to watch her next Veset at the deraisa level, and others say that's only a responsibility on a derabbanan level. So it says Rav Achanan, even if you assume Vestos are only midirabbanan, still if the Baal was Baal Ishto during the Vestos derabbanan, he is still responsible. That's called the shogeg. That's not called onus. Even though midiraisa vestos don't exist, only midirabban vestos exist. If he was Baal Isha and turned out she was a nida, he's responsible. That's called the shogeg. So you see, he took it one step further from a shogeg deraisa to even a shogeg derabbanan. There's a certain responsibility. Now this is also, again, we're doing many topics today, but this perhaps hinges on the understanding of derabbanans in general at Lo Sasser, which we've discussed in the past at Lo Sasser, how that works. The koch of the chachamim, that they have the ability to create mitzvahs. So just to quote just the two basic shitas here, the Ramban, because we're doing, I guess, more of an overview today of different important topics, the Ramban writes at Lo Sasser, the power of the chachamim only are with regards to things that are learned through drushas. The rabbans learned through drushas, such as Yud Gimel Midas Shetah and Drushas Bam. Only those Lo Sassers have the fall under the rubric of Lo Sasser. But other gzeros and takanas and minhagim are not under Lo Sasser for the Ramban. While for the Rambam holds Lo Sasser includes every takana of the Chachamim. Minhagim, gzeros, takanas, is a whole long list. That's all Lo Sasser. So this would seemingly be the concept of Vestos is not based on any drushas. So this would not be Lo Sasser for the Ramban. But for the Rambam, Lo Sasser would be, rather, Vestos, derabbanan, would be under Lo Sasser, and therefore it would make shogeg on Issim Midirbanam, the same level as a shogeg on a deraisa. Just something to think about, not for now to go into any further.
But Lo Sasser is like converting it to a deraisa.
Right. We just, I don't want to go too much into this, but pretty much, yeah, exactly, pretty much.
The Nesiva says, though, why is it a shogeg? You thought he was going to be lying to me, he should check?
Right. So, so it's a good question. I was wondering the same thing myself, that there must be some level of responsibility of the purchaser, the consumer, to be aware of what he's buying. I don't think this would apply nowadays where we have shkachos and vadim overseeing this with a certain supervision which we could rely on. You'd have to assume back then that level of supervision didn't exist, and there's some level of responsibility on the consumer. That's my guess.
So what happened with Muncie, with that guy?
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Take out the kitchen, everybody.
Sure, sure. So that case is a different case. That all of them were onus. They respond. The guy was playing games. There was a hashkacha, and you only so much you could do. At the same time, that whole case became, even though it's onus, when it comes to eating dvar tameim. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says it's matamtem nalev. It affects the person physically, spiritually, but in metzias. There's a spiritual contamination that does require some level of tshuva and cleansing, even though they're completely onus. There are different opinions of what had to be done in that case. I don't remember all the details of it.
Focus within months. They called a fast day, but not everyone was
bought onto this.
Because of that.
Right. So, but in terms of kashing the kalim, that they had to do because that was a question of metzias. There's blias of trefa in those cases, but. Yeah, so let's go now to the last level, which is Derech Eretz. So now we understand. So the Ramban, the Tosas, by the way, has to assume like the Nesivos that violating Shogeg is a Nesivos Chet. There's an Avera involved, even though Shogeg you're putter from a punishment. There must be an Avera, otherwise that can't result in any punishment. So this case when Shogeg has to be considered a Nesivos Chet against the Ramban. But now the point was here, it was the Derech Eretz Shebo that dictated that this is going to be Shogeg. So Derech Eretz is very nice. Like the Rashi writes here in Chaf Hamahe Mebeis, we find that Afa Tanoim Shemelamdin Hilchos Derech Eretz, they'd also learn Derech Eretz, Shelo Yira Adam Atzmo Alabrios Kiravasan, so no one should view them as being people stuffing their face and lacking menshach. So this guy also was very fast in eating. But that's Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is important. We want there to be Derech Eretz. We want our children to have Derech Eretz. We want ourselves to have Derech Eretz. But that to be the cause of turning this into a shogeg, that's a bit extreme. That's a big jump. But the answer is, based on just two marmakomas that I'm familiar with, I'm sure there's much, much more. This Arch Laner is absolutely fascinating. I love this Arch Laner. Arch Laner in the Maseches Nida We all know that the Gemara Nida tells us that when we were in our mother's womb, and every child in the mother's womb learns Kol Torah Kula with a Malach. If I were to ask anyone, including myself, before seeing this Aruch L'Ner, I would have said, "What do you?" If I was asked, "What do you learn?" I'd say, "You learn, you know, Shas and Poskim. You learn from, you know, Tanakh and Mishnayos and Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, everything in between, so everything in this room and beyond." And if you were to ask me, "Do you learn Derech Eretz and Midos there also?" I would have to think about it. Like, I probably would think no, but I would maybe lean, maybe yes. But the Aruch L'Ner says clearly that not only did they learn Torah, Yesh li tein tam, lama gazar chachmas abori kein, she kemo shalom dim kol ha-Torah, kein lom din lo bezer, hisnagus ha-Midos. They also learn how to properly act, which includes Derech Eretz and Midos. That was also part of what the things we learned. So there's a certain innate understanding within ourselves, what's Midos, what's Derech Eretz. Just like we learned Kol Torah Kula, we forgot it, but we have a certain connection to Torah, so we have a certain connection to Midos. So Midos aren't just simply what society defines, it's what's part of the Mesorah. And the Meiri writes, when it comes to this reason Makdim L'Mitzvos.
Part of the Mesorah.
One second, when it comes to this reason Makdim L'Mitzvos, so we learn the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that Vayashim Avram Aboker quotes a pasuk in Vayera, that when Avram woke up early in the morning to perform the mitzvah Bris Milah, he woke up early, and we learn from there Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos, that even though the mitzvah of Bris Milah is on the eighth day, you should do it B'Shachris, do it as early as possible because of Zrizim Makdimim LeMitzvos. So the base of Bechira, the Miri says there are two reasons why we want to do the mitzvah as soon as possible. One, he writes, is because we don't want to come off as if we're having Rachmanis on the child, like, oh, I feel bad for my son, let me push off to the afternoon, give him a little bit more time for the surgery. That's one reason. And the second reason he writes is, Le'echos bedarche avos. What does that mean? So Rav Yosef Engel, on his Sefer Gil Yoni HaShas on the Gemara, he says, there's a concept to just follow in the Derech Eretz of the Avos. To follow in their Midos. Had Avram not done this, this may not have been the Midah of Derech Eretz. But because Avram was Vayashkim Avram Aboker to go daven for stone, to do the Bris Milah, to do the Akedah, it says Vayashkim Avram Aboker over and over again, we also want to do the same thing. There's a certain Mesorah that we have, a certain tradition, a legacy, something we've passed on to us that we want to hold on to. And in fact, the Pasuk says, we know Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. What is the difference between Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe and then Marasha Kilas Yaakov? What's Torah versus Marasha? And why is Moshe affiliated with Torah and Yaakov connected to Morasha? So the answer is that we have Moshe Rabbeinu as our Rebbe, and we have Yaakov Avinu as our father, representing the father, Mesorah. So there's certain things that there's a Torah, which is the Hora, tells us what to do, what's right, what's wrong, what's Asa, what's Mutter, what's Tami, what's Torah. That's the Torah. It's a constitution, a book of rules. That's from our Rebbe, the Rav Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. But then there's a Morasha, which is something that we inherit from our fathers and grandfathers, which is a Midos in Derech Eretz. That's Marasha Kilas Yaakov, from Yaakov Avinu. Those are the Midos Derech Eretz that we got from the Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So now I think in light of this context, we could understand where Tosfos is saying. It's not just simply Derech Eretz of what people are doing around us, about the society around us. This is part of our Marasha. This is part of our Mesorah. And therefore, since it's something very serious, that which we learned in our mother's womb, it's part of our tradition of the Torah and the Marasha. Therefore, when one violates Derech Eretz, it would be considered the Shogeg, and one would therefore be responsible for violating the Derech Eretz. So, Mirtz Hashem, we'll start next week. We're going to learn a sugya about using wheelchairs, canes, on Shabbos and Yantif. Okay.